Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
¿Qué pasa, campeones? And welcome to a Churros episode. Back with your weekly doses of Barça glory. En Madrid, sorry. Get it? That's sort of sorry, maybe with a Canadian accent. I don't know. It is Monday, the 6th of Feb. Kian and I are back to do what we do, and that is debate the weekend action. What took place in the last match day, in this case, in La Liga Santander, match day 20, the first match of the second half of the season. It's underway, Kian. Crunch time it is. And the gap keeps opening. What was once 5 now is 8 points. That is Barça being 8 points clear at the top of the league standings. Madrid dropping points. Surprisingly, maybe not. Over in Samos against a feisty Mallorca. What a spectacle that one was. And then to close off match day 20 in the Spotify Camp Nou, it was Barça who hosted Sevilla. An injured Andalusian side that is always still dangerous. Foot players they have, Kian. It's crazy to see where they are in the standings with the coach that they have. Make what you will of Sampaoli. He did some excellent work. He has an interesting or good track record, I would say. I'm excited to see Brian Gil back in La Liga and back on a side like Sevilla. But needless to say, una victoria placida, as they say, a placid victory. Is placida translate into placid? Can you say that in English, or am I making things up again?
Placid.
No, it sounds very wrong.
I don't really. Actually, that's not. I don't really know. I've never heard it in this context, but that doesn't mean it won't work, I guess. What are we doing? We're talking about the word placid when Barcelona just won the league yesterday. Should be talking about different things. I want to congratulate you on another league title for Barcelona. How many of you guys got now in the cabinet?
That'll be number 25, is it?
Wow.
Is it 25?
Isn't that qualifies you as six like almost a big club now. That's pretty impressive. Getting up there.
I think we're 6 off Real Madrid. So I know you're feeling the heat, my friend. You know you're feeling us coming. We're breathing down your necks. If we haven't overtaken you already, to be really honest. But
yeah, well, that part maybe in 10 years if you keep going, if Xavi keeps going.
Sorry, 26 league titles. So that would be our 27th.
Got it. Well, congratulations regardless, man.
Thank you.
I saw some people, I don't know where I saw this or where I heard it or read it. I don't know. Idea that Sevilla were giving Barcelona some problems or something. Sevilla weren't coming close to you guys in that game. So your defense continues to be incredible.
Yeah.
Then that to me is still the most, that's the biggest story. It's great that you guys are also scoring goals. Don't get me wrong. Clearly things are happening offensively, but the defense has been the biggest story, man. No team apart from Bayern and Inter and Real Madrid once has been able to really take advantage of you guys defensively. And now that Araujo is back, Christensen's way better than I thought he was going to be at Barca. I got to admit to that as well. He's been great. Yeah,
he surprised many.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. You know, I'll never forget in the beginning, it was sort of leaked in the Madrid press at this this big football scout. Again, this was with unnamed sources being leaked through Marca, I believe it was, and then it got to us. But basically saying, you know, between Rudiger and Christensen, Madrid picked up the good central defender. And I'll just speak for me personally, without having seen much of Andreas Christensen, and sort of with, that's where you see you should never judge a book by its cover, right? Because upon meeting the man himself as well, and he was very, you know, he's an introvert, I think you could say. He's a soft-spoken, gentleman. You do sort of like, I mean, I think, can you say doubts? What's another word for doubt? What's a good synonym? It's not that doubts creep in, but you're like, okay, well, let's see where this one goes, right? Let's say his business card upon presenting himself at the doorstep of Can Barça, with what was being said at the time about him, like I said, that leaked source that I was just referring to, and then meeting him himself and him coming across in a more gentle way, softer way. I am very pleasantly surprised. I think we need to give massive credit, Kian, as well, for the fact that, you know, before a few months ago, Andreas Christensen, Ronald Araujo, and Jules Koundé had never even played together. Like, this is the first time that these three are playing together in a team under very extreme, difficult circumstances as well, with extreme pressure. And along with Alejandro Balde and Jordi Busquets performing not just admirably, phenomenally, but record-breakingly. This is, you know, it's numbers that are for the books. And so far, as you rightly mentioned, Kian, the best that we're seeing anywhere.
I think the Christensen thing, I mean, the assessment of what you heard about Rudiger and Christensen and Ramsey getting the better one, I don't think that was necessarily wrong, because certainly at the time, Rudiger was one of the best center backs in the world. And Real Madrid were getting for free. Obviously, there was some signing fees and the salary and stuff. I don't think that was a wrong take or a hot take to claim that Rudiger was the better pairing. Keep in mind also, we had just seen a scenario where in the Champions League, Real Madrid went to Stamford Bridge. And I was there. I'll never forget it, because I was literally like almost on the pitch. I was so close that Vinicius was cooking Christensen so badly on that right wing that Tuchel actually subbed him at halftime and was yelling at him.
But he was playing out of position then, though, if he was in the right wing position.
He was playing right back. Yeah. He was playing right back that game. He was subbed at half, and Chelsea were much better in the second half when that sub was made.
So I said right wing. Obviously, I mean right back.
Yeah, right back, yeah. So... And then, you know, so that's also part of the reason why myself included and other Madridistas really made fun of the signing. But also, even making fun of it, it was a half joke, because I didn't expect Christensen to be like a key player. I just expected it's a good signing because you get some depth in the defensive line. Why not?
Yeah.
But it turns out he's playing actually a more important role than just like a depth piece that comes in here and there. He's actually been really good. And I think fit really matters. fit matters because he's really good on the ball. And that's half the battle at Barcelona if you're playing a defensive line, a high defensive line, being able to progress the ball. And he can do that really well. I think he has maybe other weaknesses, and certain teams can exploit them maybe. But right now at Barca, the fit is really good. And obviously when you put him alongside people like Araujo and Koundé, it can mask some other things. So you have the organization and the defensive side, I think, down for a large part of what Xavi's trying to do with the system. I also want to say something else about Barca and Xavi. One of the things I was skeptical of Xavi, and you can go back. I just by accident, I came across one of my old tweets from 2018. I think it was 2018 when Xavi's quotes from Al Sadd were surfacing. I think he was at Al Sadd at that time. Was it Al Sadd that he was coaching, or was it a different
Al
team?
Al Sadd.
And he was talking about some things. I don't remember what the context was, but people were making fun of him, like, oh, I can't wait till Xavi goes to Barcelona and just ruins them. He has no idea what he's doing as a coach. You can go back, read the receipts. I was like one of the guys who actually defended him. I said, no, this guy's pretty smart. He's going to be good. You can make fun of him and be annoyed by him, fine, but I think he's a really intelligent guy. I don't know if he's going to be successful or not. I said that. But one of the things I was really skeptical about, because based on a lot of the stuff he would say publicly, things like, if things aren't working, you don't change the system, you change the players. The system's not the problem, the players are. I was skeptical about some of that stuff, of not having plan B, of, you know, if what you're doing is not working, do you have a plan B, etc. A lot of the stuff, I think the skepticism was true based on what we saw in the Champions League last season and this season. But I also do think he has come up with different things. You know, he's deviated from the 4-3-3 a little bit. It's not a traditional 4-3-3 like the one he's playing right now, for example, because he has four central midfielders. And the guy who goes up on the left wing now, it can be on any different, on any given sequence, it could be Gavi, it could be Pedri, and it could be Frankie de Jong. And it works. It gives them that ability to control and create those passing triangles in midfield while being able to send any one of those three up the field onto the left wing. And I think it works. Xavi said that they found Frankie's best position. I think this is, they really have gotten the best out of Frankie in this role. I definitely think that.
Yeah.
I wonder now with Busquets injured, what that means. Do they put Frankie back at the six? I'm curious. I don't know what you think is going to happen. Mm. Is it going to be more Kessier? Mm. I don't know. Well, actually, what do you think will happen in that situation?
It's an interesting one. I think Xavi has a difficult choice to make, as a matter of fact, because I think he's clearly been very comfortable with the four midfielders. And he's now then at a point to say, okay, do I pair Frankie with Kessié, who I think actually Kessié surprised many of us at how well he performed in the role that he did, and how well he connected with the players, how good his production is offensively as well. And I say surprised because had I or others watched more games of his at AC Milan, I think we would have not been surprised and sooner realized that he's actually perfectly capable of fulfilling that. And I say this because of, you know, afterwards I was watching the resumen, the weekly wrap-up in La Liga, where the panelists were discussing and showing images of Kessié in Milan. So I think right now, if you're Xavi, that would be your number one option, right? Why fix anything that isn't broken? And if you have a substitute, albeit it not be a natural substitute for Busquets and Kessié, and seeing how well it went yesterday, you know, you have to do that. Busquets was out, you know, after 3 minutes of game time. He left the game very early. So it was the entire game, in fact, that Kessié had to play in that position alongside of Frank. And although the goals didn't come until the second half, and the team sort of had to, you know, find their way, although, you know, deservedly getting the lead as well. I mean, in the first half, Barca had several very good chances. It's crazy that Lewandowski is actually one of the players that didn't score one of the three goals yesterday. You know, I think maybe you do go for that. Is that a blow to, you know, an Ansu or a Ferran? Probably, surely, yeah. You know, because right now, there's no doubt about it anymore. Rafinha's proven his case. He's played well. The number two or number three option. Yeah, absolutely. With Dembele out as well, Xavi will use for sure Lewandowski and Rafinha as his one-two punch. And like you said, he's done ever so well. I mean, yesterday was probably his most complete game in a Barca shirt, where his production was just... was awesome. It was everything you would want it to be. And slowly but surely, he's picking up the numbers as well. You know, it's now 8 assists. He's the team top assist provider, leapfrogging Dembele with 8, and scoring 6 goals as well. He had more chances to score yesterday. So yeah, he's definitely coming into his own. And Xavi is prizing him with you know, giving him confidence, giving him minutes, where an Ansu and a Ferran are now clearly, you know, the third or fourth options, in the absence, of course, of Dembele, where then, you know, it would be, you know, we'll see then. I mean, clearly, when Dembele returns, I think we will see Lewandowski and Dembele continue to be his number one and two choices. And then the question once again becomes, okay, is it Rafinha? I would say so. Or is it four midfielders in Gavi, Pedri, Frenkie, and Busquets / Kessié?
Yeah.
I don't know. What would you do, or what would you prefer? What do you think?
Well, it's just interesting because I wonder how permanent it is. Because when Dembele right. comes back, and also I suppose, like, how much does it change how Xavi wants to build his squad for the future? Maybe that seems like a dramatic conversation to have and a dramatic question to ask, because, you know, we've seen it for a few games and it's worked really well. But if this... Mm. But I think what's interesting about it is that I think it's evolved a little bit, because we saw it against Atletico and it worked really well for the first 20 minutes. I think since then it's actually gaining momentum, and maybe it has to do with familiarity. They're getting used to how it works, and so they're getting better at doing that instead of it, you know, maybe only working one time and never working again. I think it actually may actually work more depending on how this goes. And so does that, because previously, Xavi really wanted runners and cutters. So that's why there was a big investment in Rafinha and Ferran and I don't know. I'm sure maybe there's players I'm forgetting. And those investments were made at a time when you already had Ansu and you already had Dembele.
Well, there was Adama, of course, that was there that left.
Right. So does Xavi maybe Memphis, not need to Memphis? Memphis was already So there was a lot of wingers who could do certain things, in which mainly included running. Does Xavi now maybe look at that and say, maybe I don't need these guys as much in the future, or maybe we don't need to prioritize these guys? Maybe we need to prioritize more midfielders if we're going to play this way. I'm just curious to see. It's, you know, again, maybe it's just a dramatic conversation to have right now because we don't know much about it, but I'm curious to see how it maybe changes.
I still think what he wants from his wingers to exploit the space and to make the field as wide as possible. You know, we saw these long passes from Koundé and Frankie as well end up at Rafinha, you know, him exploiting then that space to then cut in and either pass it or take a shot himself to incoming traffic in Lewandowski and Gavi, of course, as well. By the way, 6 looking pretty good on Gavi, huh? This was his first shirt game, rather, with... 6 on his shirt. Seems that La Liga has lost the battle. I don't know. Knock on wood.
Yeah, I think it's finalized now, because my dad was asking me about this. I was hanging out with him yesterday, and he was like, "So what's going on with this Gavi thing?" And I said, "I think Barca can just. It's fine. Like they're not
for the time being, at least. Like that's okay. What I said. Knock on wood. There's no incoming drama, but So man, it's looking really good, and I'm liking this team. We had a little dip, right? We had after the Clásico in the Super Cup, there was a little dip, and leading into the Clásico, it was that as well. You know, the team was getting by with 1-0 victories, and emphasis was being placed on the defense and making sure not to concede, perhaps a little bit more of a pragmatic Xavi we were seeing as he was figuring out whether it's four fielders and who his wingers are to exploit and wide the space and widen it and widen the pitch, etc. But right now it's the game against Betis, now this one again against Sevilla, and say what you want about the opponents. You know, in the case of the Betis, you're still talking about a very high-quality side. The win against Real Sociedad as well. It's a good moment. We're getting certainly a version of this team that I think everybody, and Xavi including, obviously, are very happy with. But there's still such a long way to go. There's no doubt about it. I mean, last week we were talking about 5 points being nothing. And although 8 is a nicer, fluffier cushion, crunch time is still, you know, yet to hit. We talked about the schedule last week, I think it was, Kian, where you were listing the games, the Villarreal's, the Manchester United's, etc. That's still tough games that have to be played. There's a marathon of Clásicos coming. Trophies aren't won yet, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I'm very, but I will say this, I'm feeling better about our chances and finishing off the season with more silverware, as opposed to seeing kind of this deflation happen that we saw last season with this team. Yes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, the thing is, you mentioned the run. And also, like, I think it's important to note that you guys were winning when you weren't playing well. I think that really matters. It matters now, right now, especially because you may not need to be playing perfectly for the rest of the year. And I know sounds kind of like a dangerous thing to do. And obviously I wouldn't advocate for that if you're a Barca fan, like let's just play bad and drop results. That's obviously not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that mathematically it's going to be really hard for Real Madrid to catch up to you guys now. And it's funny, the difference between 5 and 8 is only 3 points, but it's a lot. 8 points is a lot at this stage of the season. It'd be different if this was October, but at this stage of the season, you know, you're going into this really heavy schedule with the 8-point cushion. You got to be pretty thankful for that. It's going to be hard to live.
It's never been done before. Statistically, it's never been done.
That's exactly why I'm pessimistic about it. Yeah, that's exactly why I think it matters. So when I'm congratulating you on the league, that's not even banter. I really think it's going to be hard to catch up. I genuinely believe that this league is pretty much over.
So how does it, you know what's funny? I don't know if you saw these go around, but there are these memes, are not really memes, but these video clips rather of the Bernabeu, this girl in the Bernabeu with a Madrid shirt, and Tomas Roncero, who you know, of course, and I'm sure many of our listeners do as well, in this sort of open spaced, like they were holding El Chiringuito in front of a live audience in Zaragoza somewhere. And in both the videos, you know, they start chanting Chavi quédate, Chavi quédate, Chavi quédate. A famous, you know, tune that has had different variants, of course. But it's funny how, you know, history comes back to bite you in the ass. Because and the reason I bring it up is you mentioned you were one of those that hailed Xavi, or at least said that you know, he could be a good coach, or that he has promising characteristics and traits that could potentially turn him into a good coach. Were you at some point happy with Xavi, you know, having come to Barca? Did you sort of sign on to this Xavi quédate narrative of jokingly saying that Xavi needs to stay because we were worse off with him and he was going to run us into the ground? Or were you cautiously optimistic?
No, I think it was more, I was just agnostic about it. I was in the unknown. I just didn't want to judge either way. If he could be Zinedine Zidane, or he could be Frank Lampard, for all I know. I just feel like it's fair to just wait and see what the answer is. I don't know, you know? And so I think it turns out up until now he's good. But, you know, as you just said, things can change quickly. So, you know, one coach who is the next coming 1 year could be a disaster the next year, and vice versa. So maybe that will also come back to bite, I don't know. But right now it's hard to argue with the results.
Yeah, there is a point in time where Xavi will either walk away or be forced away from his job as coach at Barca. Will it be after having won a record amount of trophies or no trophies at all? Obviously, that remains to be seen. The thing is, I guess also what I'm trying to say, or what I was thinking, when I was watching, you know, the Bernabeu chant Xavi quédate, or this ginormous theater in this chiringuito.
Which one? When was that? Was that the last Clásico? The league one?
I guess. I suppose so, yeah.
A few months ago, right? That.
Yes.
The 3-1?
The 3-1. It must have, it didn't have any further context. It was just this girl with the Madrid shirt and you know, her boyfriend next to her, and she was just showing everybody, going Xavi quédate, Xavi quédate, and laughing her asses off and stuff.
I will say this: if Real Madrid somehow come back and win the league, and Barca just shit their pants, that's going to be a fun one to revisit too. But that's not going to happen. But it's just, I gotta say sorry, go ahead.
No, the only thing that struck me was, even during those times when it was, you know, during the Bayern onslaught that Xavi witnessed as well, of course, the Champions League exits, the loss in the Bernabeu and the Clásico and all that. I think me, for one, but many others, we continue to believe in Xavi, believe in the project. And that's something that was, or has been, very different from, say, what we had with the Ronald Koeman project, where it was more like, shit, you know, things aren't going that well and we're not really improving. And yes, you know, we still, of course, won the Copa del Rey with him. But I think that was more tirando de talento, right? Like, depending on the talent, the individual talent that the team had. Mind you, Messi, of course, was still there as well. But in the losses, there were a lot of doubts surrounding that previous project, whereas, like, with Xavi, those doubts really weren't there. Like, it was more like, no, like, we believe in what he is doing. And of course, I'm not saying that we were unanimously all hand in hand kumbaya behind Xavi. I think the majority of us, but there, don't get it twisted, there's a lot of criticism that Xavi has to put up with from the local press or local journalists or local fans as well. So there is a divide, you know, there's a divided opinion, and there has been with regarding to Xavi. So maybe I should just keep it to myself and say, I continue to believe in that project, even during the losses and the tough times.
I also have to say that from a pure likability standpoint, which is a different subject altogether, because we're talking about tactical acumen and also just the efficiency. Hasn't been as annoying as I kind of hoped he would be. You know what I mean? Remember, because there was all the quotes about complaining about this grass and.
Which Ancelotti did as well in the Copa, right? So the exact same thing. Yeah, yeah.
Nah, it's a bit different. That pitch really was bad.
Grass length
and water on that's a different complaint. But anyways, neither here nor there. A couple days ago, he had a nice quote about Vinicius where he said referees must protect players like him. And it's normal because he's so good at one versus one duels that people have to stop him with physical abuse. Yesterday, he was asked about the league being over and he said, no, I've many times as a player, I know what it's like for Real Madrid to come back and beat me. And I don't want that to happen to me as a coach.
Of course.
I just wish, like, give us a jab, man. Give us something. Just give us like. Give us.
He's not going to do it
when he lifts the trophy.
He'll do
just,
it.
Just give us a curse. Give us a curse word that I can't say on the podcast. Go say something. Say something to fuel the fire.
He'll do something. He'll say something that either will get taken out of context, or he will take a little jab if need be. Like let's say next season,
give us an Eto'o. I mean, Eto'o or PK level something, you know. Rekindle the hostility.
You want us to get better ratings and us to be more hostile. And
I miss the Mourinho versus Pep era. I miss it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. It was like, man, the whole world was watching those Clásicos. Admittedly, it was more about probably because Cristiano and Messi and those two teams were really, really good, more so than Mourinho and Pep. But we will never forget that era. I mean, I don't...
No, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was fun. Anyways.
There's a great documentary. You should try to get your hands on it. I don't think it is... available probably in your territory because it's like a local production, but it's basically just goes through that entire month, or what is it? It's like 16 days or 18 days where these four Clásicos are played. And yeah, just rehashing a lot of the the beef,
yeah,
and the frustrations that were lingering during those days, and talking to everyone about it. But yeah, when you come over, I'll tell you what, we'll sit down and watch it on my couch when you come over to watch the Clásico.
So, cool, let's do it. We'll do live reaction. I think the April Camp Nou one I'll be at. I don't know about the March one.
Sorry.
Yeah, April 5th, that one I think I'll be at.
So, dude, I've got some questions for you. Unless you
want ask to. Away.
No, just what's going on? How are you seeing the rest? I mean, you're giving up the league, so the Copa and Champions League are left. Nothing to scuff at.
Nothing to be placid about.
Nothing bang, bang. To be placid about. How do you, like, how are things at the moment? How do you see it pan out? How are things evolving? It's, I mean, is this the lowest point for Real Madrid since quite a while? I mean, since quite a while, things have been very good for Real Madrid. Still, you know, current champions of the Champions League, La Liga. So this is a new low, I would say.
That's an interesting question. I think it's the lowest point in the league specifically for a long time. Last season, I really felt rock. I feel like the team was in a really brutal state after the PSG first leg, where it was just so clear from a talent and youth and energy and tactical standard we were so light years behind PSG in that game. Then, of course, the second leg somehow was just absolutely crazy, and it just got crazier. But I feel like that moment, I remember it being pretty low. The difference between that and this is that you can recover from losing 1-0 in the first leg and being terrible. You can't really recover from an 8-point deficit in the league, you know? And so that's the main, the point of recovery is more difficult now. Right. And also, health is deteriorating in the squad.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of depth, the lack of options, the fact that Benzema is just not available at all this year, and when he is, he's not the Benzema of last year.
Do you think that now? I know this is bringing up an old debate, because I feel like people have been trying to write off Benzema for so many years. I'll never forget when I was in a bar watching the Clásico, and with Madriditas, mind you, around me. And it was precisely this girl, again, a girl with a very shrill voice going, "Benzenada, Benzenada." And this was like years ago, "Benzenada." And I'm listening to, like, watching her scream to the TV going, "My God, get a life." But also
shut up, you were like, definitely joining her. "Yeah, Benzenada." There's definitely some video footage somewhere of you pretending like you didn't get in on that action.
I was like, hey, this is a good one. I'll bring this up on chat.
Let me take some notes. Benzenada.
It was generally, she was off-putting by how she was screaming. I was so off-put that I never brought it up on the pod. But anyway, long story short, he obviously stayed. Florentino believed in him, and rightfully so. And he's turned out to be a fantastic football player, the winner of the Ballon d'Or, et cetera, rightfully deserved and everything. But do you think that now that he has those accolades individually and collectively, he's peaked? Are we now just in decline Benzi mode from here on in? Should Madrid sell him?
Well, they're not going to
sold him at last summer.
No, you can't sell a player like that who's deservedly winning the Ballon d'Or and had an unbelievable year, one of the best in Real Madrid history. You can't and you shouldn't. And I know. And also, I don't think he's finished at all. I think he has some good football left in him, including this season and next. I think maybe put a 2-year timeline on it. But I think it's safe to say that his peak is over, because that's just, if you look at the numbers, the stats, the age, the fact that he had, you know, everything. It's hard to replicate what he's done in the past 2 years. It's hard to sustain what he did. But I don't think that means he's finished. I just think that it's a different version of him that can still be very, very helpful and contribute a lot. But I think it's safe to say that his peak is over. That's not a hot take, I don't think.
That's not a hot take, no. But you would keep him on? I mean, what are you doing with Benzema? What do you do if you're Benzema? Do you stay there? And
I think he stays until his contract is over 2024.
Mm.
The main problem that the club has put themselves into and cornered themselves into is that they don't know how to transition this properly. You have 2 years of Benzema. Okay, fine. Hope that he stays healthy and provides good value. Safe to assume he can't play every game. Safe to say he's going to go through injuries. And what the plan is to wait till Endrick to come over in 2 years. So you're going to wait until then and not sign anyone, and then hope that Endrick is the superstar? Tough place to be in terms of squad building. So it's a risky situation they put themselves into.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The poster boy of the team, of the club, the franchise player is Vinny.
Are you asking me a question right now?
I just want your opinion on that.
Well, I don't know what the question is.
I mean, we talked about it. I think it was last week. Might have been the one prior to that. The Vinny saga continues. Madrid have put out one statement in defense of who I think Madridistas would deem their star player, their franchise player. Should they back him more? Are they not backing him more because he's not their number one guy? I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here. Would they consider a trade, to apply basketball language, for Mbappé, a Vinny Mbappé trade transfer?
Listen, Vinicius is not going anywhere.
Just some thoughts I'm throwing out there. Okay. Sorry.
If Vinicius leaves, I don't think it has anything to do. This is not even a conversation, but just in theory. If Vinicius leaves, it won't have to do with Real Madrid. It will have to do with him being like, you know what? I'm done with Spain. There's like all these little statements from La Liga. We're going to look into the racism and no action. I'm done. Premier League, they'll take more action. They'll snip in the butt, whatever. I think it'll be coming down to him getting fed up with what's happening in La Liga and the abuse he's getting. It won't be for Real Madrid trading him or pushing him out. Should the club back him more? I think there's two different conversations and two different topics that I think often get convoluted and mixed up by fans. One is, should Real Madrid back him more and defend him more publicly, especially in the face of racism? Yes. Should the club, should the club, that's what you're asking, right? But in terms of like what was happening on the field yesterday, there was racism involved, of course, but that was coming from the stands, monkey chants. What the club has to do is decrease the dependency on him. You can't just expect him to just carry your entire team, giving him the ball every single possession and letting him cook four defenders. It's not a sustainable model for it. It's not how you play football. I understand you want to use your stars to your best capacity, but you can't just every single play, the entire stadium, everyone's fan and their moms and their dogs at home know that, oh, the ball's going to Mbappe. Everyone, it's like ISO ball, you know? Giving the ball to Melo. Everyone just stand around. Let's watch him. Hopefully he'll make this one. You know, it's not sustainable basketball. You need to have runners and cutters and fluidity and passing and switches and pick and rolls and people cutting to the rim, kicking it out, dishing it out for open threes. That's what is sustainable basketball.
But Madrid have quote-unquote role players, not to call them role players in a derogatory way whatsoever, but you catch my drift, right?
Yeah.
He's surrounded with very talented football players.
You and I talked about that Real Sociedad game. How great Rodrigo was, you know. We have good players who are not being used properly. And listen, some people are sick of me saying this. I'm really, really high on the players we have in Castilla right now. We have some really, really talented players there. Castilla right now are close to getting to Segunda. They're, I think, 2 points back of first place Alcorcón. A game I woke up at the crack of dawn yesterday to watch that game against Alcorcón. They dominated. They were only able to get a draw. There's some really good players. We have wingback issues right now. Rafael Obrador at the left back slot is really, really good. Vinicius Tobias is really, if nothing else, he's an athletic, fast wing back who tries to do things offensively. Sergio Arribas right now is a really, really promising. He's already 21. He should not be playing in Castilla anymore, but he's an amazing player. We have a lot of good talent. Ancelotti doesn't think long-term because he doesn't see his role long-term. You know what I mean?
Right.
A player, a coach
who needs results now.
Yeah,
guaranteed
results. A coach like Carlo Ancelotti, as well-intentioned as he is, and I believe he's a really, really good man, I really don't think he's thinking.
Sure.
I don't think he's thinking like, oh, I'm really, really interested in developing Sergio Arribas for to have him ready in 3 years. He could be gone in 2 months. I don't think he cares. I really don't think he cares. Maybe that's some of the benefit of having someone from the academy who thinks more long term, like Xavi. Like Zidane, maybe by the end of it had less trust in the academy, but when he first came in, he had this trust in the young players, especially like Fede Valverde, who he was coaching at that time. Solari, even rest in peace, his coaching career was like 2 weeks for Real Madrid. The first thing he did was bring in Reguilon, who got in fights with Suarez and Messi. And even though we were losing those Clásicos, we're like, yeah, fuck yeah, he's standing up to Luis Suarez, you know?
He was like a Gavi.
Yeah.
He had that character.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, he's the one who really is ultimately credited with trusting Vinicius. Remember that that hell week we had? That was I was at that Clásico and the Ajax game, the one where we lost to Ajax 4-1. Then we lost to Barca. I think it was in the Copa del Rey when the whole game was Vinicius getting past Piqué and missing chances, and then Barca won. I was at that game, and that was during the Solari era. Where it's like he's here for a couple of weeks and all of a sudden he just promoted like the entire Castilla team. That was fun. I'm not saying it was like that. I'm not going to sit here and say that.
I remember that as well. He did very good. I mean, he was punching above his weight. I remember I was doing Viva La Liga. Those were the times where you would come on the program.
Yeah. It's fun.
You know, I remember like, you know, preparing stats and for the program and visuals and stuff where, he was getting good numbers, man. He was doing good.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that this is the scientific solution. Bring up, promote Castilla and all of a sudden everything will be, it's going to be a great era. Quinta de Buitre 2.0, the Yaya eras are back. It's going to be like Pep's Barca. That's not what I'm saying, but I'm just saying like, clearly, when your squad is decimated and things aren't working and players are old and Balde walking is 300% faster than Carvajal sprinting, and we have really good Castilla players who are doing well and our lineups are predictable. There are solutions we're not looking at, is my point.
Right. Right. That don't seem like they are even being considered. But then the question is, you know, you bring up Quinta de Buitre quite often, but again, historically, you put out a very interesting tweet or you retweeted something. I think it was una grafica, like a graph or a stat that asked the question if La Fabrica is the best footballing school in the world or football program, the most successful, I think it was. You'll know better than me what it said, but it had 55 players, I believe, that play in top clubs or top divisions, whether it's La Liga, the Premier League, Serie A, etc. I don't know if that is the most from anyone, from any other school. You know, I know Villarreal has a very good program. Obviously, La Masia is...
Yeah, I think based on pure volume and the amount of clubs that have Castilla players, I think it's the most.
It's the most. Okay. But so my question is, how often are these players prized though? So, you know, you're looking through that list and you certainly see some recognizable names and players, although the Vinny and the Rodrigo one are a little bit forced in there, but okay, we'll let that one slide. Well, that aside, definitely very talented football players, but you know, did they make their breakthrough? Were they given the continuity with the first team? And the answer more often than not is no.
You are right to point that out. And that's a point I think that I've made often. Like, you know, just because you have players who can play for Getafe doesn't mean you have players who can play for Real Madrid, right? Borja Mayoral being an example, for example. And these players like Butragueño and Martin Vazquez and Raul and Casillas, they don't grow on trees. Xavi, Iniesta, these guys don't grow on trees, right? They're generational for a reason. You know, you can't just have Messi like, oh, let's find the next Messi. These players, there will only be one Messi probably in our lifetime. I think the point is that though they don't need to be that caliber necessarily. And I also, and part of the thing is, Diego, we don't know until we try it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Think of what would have been Gavi's fate if he came up during Xavi and Iniesta era. I don't think we would have known about his existence, right?
Even Xavi himself and Puyol were on the brink of transferring to another club because they didn't see it clear path or future.
I would argue, and maybe you can call me, I don't know what you think of this. I would actually argue that I don't think the greatness of Xavi would have actually been seen if Pep didn't go to Barca.
Mm-hmm.
I like the difference between Rijkaard Xavi and Pep's Xavi is night and day. It's a completely different player. It's a different level of greatness. So that is, I don't know if you agree with that or not, but.
Well, I mean, look, you ask Xavi this question and he will, you know, sing praises to Van Gaal, Aragonés, Del Bosque, Pep, sure. Luis Enrique, Rijkaard. You know, he said he was fortunate enough to learn from the best and he learned from every single one. And when asked who was your most important coach, he will always say Luis Aragonés, as a matter of fact. So,
sure.
But well, there's no doubt, it's undeniable that we saw peak Xavi and peak Iniesta, obviously, with Pep. That's undeniable.
Yeah, so anyway, so the point is about timing, right? If Gavi came up to the Xavi Iniesta era, it's very likely we wouldn't. And you know, conversely, what happens if Raul comes up during Benzema's era? What happens? I mean, we kind of saw what happened with Odegaard in terms, and Odegaard, now that's partly his fault too. But I mean, he's one player that would have been extremely helpful, I think, for future squad building. But that didn't work out. What would happen if Achraf came up to the Carvajal era? Oh, we saw it, you know? What would happen if Theo Hernandez, although he's not a Castilla player, but just, you know, what would happen if Theo came up through when we had Marcelo? We kind of saw it. And so timing really matters.
But it's crazy that some of these players that you're naming, like you mentioned Reguilón, and I was like, man, in Reguilón, they're going to have an insane fullback for years to come. This future, the kid, the future looks so bright for this kid. You know, the same with, who se llama, Llorente?
Marcos
Llorente, thank you. Players that Madrid have let go that, had they stayed there, at least, you know, from the time, from what we saw from them while they were playing for Real Madrid, looked very promising. So,
but your point is they weren't that good ultimately?
No, I don't. I think, sorry. My criticism for all these players is more aimed at Real Madrid and perhaps their philosophy or their lack of commitment and confidence towards their own players, right? Their own homebred players.
Yeah. So that also short-term thinking, because I think when they sold Achraf, they were going through the pandemic, and they sold him when I think he would have been really, really needed for obvious reasons. But I think the cost of losing him outweighs the money you got from him during the pandemic. So that's one of the short-term thinking. But there's another element of this, and that is fans will often say, well, you know, oh, it was a correct decision to sell Reguilon, for example, which I'm not disputing. It's just a random example. Reguilon, who now is at Atletico, he was doing okay at Tottenham until Conte came and didn't need him, and then now he's at Atletico. I think where you are matters in a lot of ways. It's very possible that Reguilon would have been a better player if he was a Real Madrid player. And again, I'm not saying Real Madrid should have kept Reguilon. It's just a random example. But I think where you are and what system you're playing in, and also the club you're playing for, really matters in terms of how good you are.
Yeah.
I think Sergio Busquets is in some ways a good example of this.
Mm-hmm.
Good one. Would Busquets have been one of the greatest defensive midfielders of all time had he not been playing at Barcelona? I think there's a legitimate argument to be said, no. But because context really matters and fit really matters, that we saw that Busquets.
Yeah.
But if Busquets was playing for, I don't know, random, Tottenham, poor Tottenham, I don't think Barca would have been necessarily, oh man, we should have bought him. You know, he's not that good. Yeah. Look, he's not doing that great at Tottenham. Why would we? I just think these nuanced conversations need to be had when we're talking about how good someone is. Yeah. Fit really matters.
Fit really matters. And I'll say one more thing on this topic. And this was actually a few years ago where there was a discussion between a panel on the radio. This was late in the night when I used to still listen to radio until 3 a.m., 2 a.m. I loved those shows. A little bit what the Chiringuito was based on, but maybe with more intellectual people actually debating the topics as opposed to just shouting at each other. But they were discussing La Fabrica versus La Masia and sort of the general conclusion or consensus, I think you could say, was that both, you know, culé and madridista journalists agreed that probably La Fabrica is a better fit for most general football players and will give them most likely better opportunities to be prepared to make a leap to the professional stage, as opposed to those that succeed within La Masia and understand the style of football that is a lot more specific style of football with a specific philosophy, you know, Cruyffism, etc., will become sort of the better football players. And maybe, you know, obviously at the time as well, you're talking about coming off of the back of Spain being hugely successful. It's the Xavi Iniesta era, the Busquets, and et cetera, et cetera. But that was sort of the general consensus, was like, you know, La Masia breeds a very specific type of football player that is not for all. You know, you have to fit a certain mold, the Pedris now, the Gavis, et cetera. Whereas like, but, you know, have the chance to be just incredible, amazing football players and how they interpret the game and how they execute it, their vision, etc. But, you know, it might not be as successful as and it is most likely not to be successful just anywhere else. Like the example you just put forward with Busquets and Tottenham, you know. He would have a tougher time for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess going back to the original point was that there are solutions you can look at to play, to come up with. And I don't think they have been exhausted or looked at enough.
So, dude, I know we still have some pending topics. However, I have very hungry wife and kids, and
that's more important.
Time is ticking.
Pending topic is your hungry wife and kids. That's the most pending topic. So attend to that.
Keep my family waiting for our family meal.
We do have a couple patron questions that we have to discuss, but we can do that on the patron show. And they're actually pretty loaded, heavy topics too. So we can save that. So patreon.com/churros y tacticas. If you want to get access to the weekly bonus show where it gets really raw and dirty and placid, if you want to get access to that one, patreon.com/churros y tacticas. Thanks, Diego. It's good chatting, man.
Thanks, buddy.
Congrats on La Liga.
Always.
We'll talk later this week.
Thank you.
Peace.
All right. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.